In the sermon that I didn't get to preach 2 weeks ago when Ben and Jesse were here, it's a sermon on mission and it's called How to Have Beautiful Feet. Let's pray as we listen to God's word and let him apply it to our lives. Heavenly Father, like the prophet Jeremiah, I pray that you would touch my mouth so that I may speak your words to your people. And I pray that you would touch and open our hearts so that we can hear your word to us and we can understand and believe and share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Something that not many of you know about my wife is that she has cute feet. They're small, and she often puts them in front of me for a foot rub when I'm watching cricket or tennis. She doesn't actually like the sport itself, but she loves me to rub her feet. And when I first did that, I noticed that she had small, well-formed, cute feet. Me, on the other hand, I have knobbly feet. I don't know why, but my toes are all bent over, and they just look ugly. And they're also about twice as large as a vet. So when she gives me a foot rub, it's actually like twice as much work for her to do that for me. So I don't get foot rubs very often. That's very unfortunate. But how to have beautiful feet. Last fortnight, Ben and Jesse, who are missionaries in Nepal, shared with us partly based on this passage from Isaiah 52. And I'd invite you to read that verse out with me. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. How beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. Wouldn't it be great to have beautiful feet? You might not even need surgery to straighten those bent up toes. So how can we have beautiful feet? Step one, start with a wash. I'm going to read a passage from John chapter 13. And if you have your Bible, you're welcome to turn to it. This is Jesus' last night before his death with his disciples. And John 13 from verse 1 and various verses following that. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. After washing their feet, Jesus put his robe on again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." In order to have beautiful feet, start with a wash. Jesus showed the extent of his love to his disciples by washing their feet. Now, in that culture and at that time, people generally wore leather-soled, strapped sandals. They also walked around on roads that were unpaved, i.e. mud and dust. And they also walked around on roads where other animals walked and where people threw out their waste because they didn't have a sewer system. Now, if you think about that, it's a little bit like one of the current ads for one of the four-wheel drives, which I won't mention the name of, where they go, "We've been through all kinds of mud. We've been through this kind of mud and that kind of mud and that's not mud." Okay, so people's feet were pretty dirty, pretty horrible, pretty smelly. And The washing of feet was the lowest and most servant thing, most slave-like thing that you could do for someone. If you can imagine getting down with all that muck and dirt and dust and the stuff that's not mud and washing someone's feet, that's what Jesus was doing. If you want to have beautiful feet, the first step is to let Jesus wash your feet. Jesus is the ultimate servant. You need to know that the good news is for you, and that whatever the muck and dirt and yuckiness of the places that you have walked and the things that you have done in your life, Jesus gets on his knees, puts a towel around his waist, and washes your feet. There are no depths to which Jesus will not stoop to show you the love of God and the depth of his forgiveness for you. No matter how crappy your life might be, no matter the depth of the things that you have done, Jesus loves you to the extent that he will wash you clean. So step one in having beautiful feet is to start with a wash from Jesus. Know that the good news is for you. You can't share it if it hasn't touched the depths of your being. And I think sometimes when we talk about mission, it's been a little bit guilt-inducing for some of us. It's been like, oh, this is something that I really should do, but boy, it feels hard. And I know I should because my pastor said I should and the Bible says I should, but oh, man, it's just hard work. When you know the depth of Jesus' love for you, that he has washed your feet, that he has gone to the worst places in your life to wash you and make you clean and holy. When you know that good news is for you, then that's the point where mission begins. And that's the first step in having beautiful feet. Jesus says something very interesting here, and I'd never picked this up. I've been reading the Bible for 35 years. I've never actually seen this connection before. Jesus says, why don't we read it together? Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have left you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is above his master, and no messenger is above the one who sent him. What are the next two steps in having beautiful feet? Jesus describes them here. He says, no servant is above his master. Jesus served. He calls us to serve. But the part I had never really picked up before is that Jesus also says, and no messenger is above the one who sent him. Jesus also calls us to proclaim. He proclaims God's good news and God's love to us. And these are the two things that he calls us to do in accordance with his example. He says, I've left an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus serves, we should serve. Jesus proclaims, we also need to proclaim. And that's the next couple of steps in how to have beautiful feet. Step two is serve in Jesus' footsteps. Show the kind of love that Jesus showed to us. Serve one another. Serve your children. Serve in your workplace. Serve the people around you. It's very much like that passage from 1 Corinthians. You know, if you do everything and you have no love, it's no good. But when you love others and when you pray for God to give you the same love for them that he has for them, then serving is a logical step. Because to love someone means to meet their practical needs in the best ways that you can, the ways that are good for them and the ways that are good for you. I don't think I need to say very much more about that one. There's multiple ways that we, as God's people, serve one another and serve the people around us. And we pray about, how can we do that? What does that practically look like? Step three is that step of proclaiming the good news. I'm going to have a look at a couple of Bible passages here, just really quickly. Jesus says, no messenger is above the one who sent him. So if you want to have beautiful feet, the third step is to take that really scary step of faith and to open your mouth and speak the good news of Jesus. That's the one, I think, that's probably the most difficult for most of us as Lutherans. Romans chapter 10, won't read it all, but that's the one that says, how can people be saved unless they call on the name of the Lord? How can they call on the name of the Lord if they haven't heard about him? How can they hear unless they're sent? You know, how can someone preach unless they're sent? So it's very much about that proclamation is actually the thing that leads people to faith in Jesus. Ephesians 6, verse 14 to 15, this is the spiritual warfare passage, right? What does Paul say about your feet? He says, your feet fitted with the readiness of the good news of the gospel. In other words, don't walk anywhere without beautiful feet that are ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I will read this one out. Sorry, I've got bookmarks. And this is the risen Jesus and his plan for his disciples in terms of reaching the world. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's just look a little more closely at that one. Why don't we read that again together? Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what's Jerusalem? It's your neighborhood. It's the place you live. It was the place that the disciples lived. It's your city. It's your family. It's the people that are immediately around you. This is, baby steps are great. How do I tell people the good news of Jesus? Start with your kids if you've got a family. Start by sharing God's word and prayer with your children in your family. Think and pray about the people that God has placed around you in your neighborhood. Even something as simple as saying, you know, on Sunday morning, I went to church, can be a start in the kind of conversations about Jesus. Also, listen. Listen to people. Hear their story. Know what's going on in their life and go, well, how does God's good news connect with that? Kids learning to walk. Fiona, isn't it awesome when you see your kids take their first steps and run out the door? They get mobile. Anyone else remember that when kids that you know started walking for the first time? We have to learn this stuff. Baby steps are cool. That's why Jesus says, start with Jerusalem. Start with the people around you. Start with the people that you know, your family, your city. What's next? What's the next place that Jesus tells his disciples to go? Judea. Judea and Samaria. Okay. So Judea is the country in which the disciples lived. Your wider context, Australia. Samaria is crossing a cultural boundary. Jesus is saying that his disciples will cross the boundaries and the barriers to bring people the good news. And to the ends of the earth. Cross-cultural mission. Maybe, I hope and pray, that God will raise up among us and among his church in Australia, people who will go to far places, to different cultures where they haven't heard the good news before. We actually have someone who's come a long way to join us. We have many people from Africa who have heard the good news and who are now living among us. And they've come to what is for them the ends of the earth. And people like James who pray, who long to be in mission to the people in Australia have done this cross-cultural step. I said this a fortnight ago. Jesus in our church is not as interested in bums on seats as in hearts on legs. Jesus wants us to have beautiful feet. is, yes, gathering in worship is really, really important. We need to be fed. We need to hear the good news so that we can share it with others. But in the end, God wants people who will go with his message, who will have the beautiful feet of bringing the good news of Jesus. I love that this heart is not just on legs, but also on a skateboard. So thinking culturally appropriate ways of reaching the people that we are with. And that's where we are walking with the risen Jesus in mission. Well, summing it up, how to have beautiful feet. Start with Jesus washing your feet. Jesus loves you. God has shown the depth of his love for you by washing you clean through what Jesus has done. Know that the good news is for you. Secondly, serve in Jesus' footsteps. Live out the good news in practical ways. Third, step out in faith. Speak the good news. And then, like my wife